Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by sportsshoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Every Sunday we get together with a guest from the distance running world,
giving you an insight into the lives and training of some of the UK's best athletes and coaches.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and all major podcast streaming services.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast, where we post about our past and present guests, host giveaways and much more.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Right, guys, welcome back. Another bonus set for you. Obviously, we had Liverpool, the big one, the big cross-country race on the weekend, and we just wanted to round up how it went, really. We obviously had the commentary as well, so shout out to Sam Crick again from Crickcast for helping us out with that, because it seems to go down well. How did you enjoy it, Matt? Did you have a good time?
Absolutely. Loved it, mate. I mean, I think I said it in the last one. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And yeah, to be honest, that's just where I want to be, mate, commentating on races like that. So I had a thoroughly enjoyed myself out there, and I know Sam did as well.
Yeah, for sure. Look, we just wanted to chat about, obviously, the team came out today, 11 o'clock. So we're going to chat through the team, chat through the races, and we'll just go from there. Let's start with the short course, because obviously, first introduction of the event. First off, I'm just going to put it out there. I thought it was pretty exciting, but a bit disappointing in terms of the time of day. I felt like there wasn't very many people there, considering there's senior teams on the line. That was my kind of first thoughts afterwards.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, mate. Like, I think their reasoning to put it early is good, though, just because, you know, they don't want the course getting cut up. And to be fair, saying that, I mean, the men went just off before the women, but honestly, the women raced 5 minutes later and there was probably near enough double the crowd there. It was it was really interesting how everyone just sort of turned up out of nowhere and flocked. So I think the timing. But also, to be fair to that race, I think the course, because the course was a big square, right, and it was such a quick race, you couldn't actually get across to the other side. So I think a lot of people, I think there was good crowd, but only on that home straight.
Yeah, I mean, I was
finish area. So to be honest, on the crowd front, I think it was good, but people weren't going to dash across the field like they do on the long course, because they wouldn't be able to. You have to be a pretty serious athlete like myself to get across the field and back, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I had a little dash across during the short course. But yeah, like you say, it was still hard to see him at multiple points. I just think,
do you know what though? Class event. I want to see more of it. Yes, it can probably be improved a little bit. I think we need more numbers in there as well, to be honest. I don't know why they cap the field at 30 or 40, and then factor in the dropouts. Because I think they capped the field at 20. I think the men had sort of like 23, 24 entrants, but a few dropouts. They only had 16 about 16 start, finishes. And the same in the ladies' race. The field was sort of only about 16, 18 deep before the race, and I think they had a few dropouts. And it wasn't, you know, again, they had just over sort of 10 finishes in it. So they should probably make the fields a little bit bigger, make it a little bit more exciting. But let's talk about the athletes now, mate, because, the men's race, I think it was over 1,500 as well. There's no way they ran 4:28 and 4:31.
Yeah. I mean, people were being
the
like,
the senior men did that in, like, the first mile at Liverpool, so there's no way it was 1,500. I'm pretty sure it must have been longer.
I mean, it's not an easy course, but like you say, I think athletes of that caliber would be running a bit quicker. People were talking about, it's going to be slow, it's going to be outside 4 minutes, and then we saw 4:28, and it's like, okay, a lot slower than people thought then. But look, Ben West stormed it, to be honest. Sat in kind of like fourth, fifth for most of the race from what I could see. And then when it got to the downhill section, he just almost hit the front, made sure he was in first off that tight turn that we kind of have learned to know across all the distances at Liverpool. And then he just flew up that hill.
Yeah, and I think with someone like Ben as well, I was surprised to see him actually hang on for the win, considering how early he took the lead. A good move though, because like the wind, like you said, the wind was with him, it's on the downhill, but you know, I feel like he got away with it. Well, he was a tactical masterclass, obviously he won the race, but like it showed you that people who went at that stage in the race in the minor spots came out the back door. Like, for example, Luke Duthie came out of nowhere. To get that second spot, like on the home straight, honestly, he wasn't even in the top three or four in the calling shots. I remember commentating on it, and he wasn't even there. But you know, he came past the likes of James McMurray, who fell all the way back to ninth. That was someone who was right in the thick of it coming off that last turn. So much changed on that short course in that last, what would you say that is, like 200-300 meters that home straight?
Not even that.
200 metres? That home straight's longer than you think. I'd probably say it's about 200 metres, that home straight. Anyway, a lot changed.
I don't know.
In a short space of time. Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of that was factored down to they turned, and it's how you come off of that turn, and also, you know, the mad headwind that people were facing on that home straight. And I think it was actually windier earlier on in the day, as that storm still hadn't rolled through.
And it was colder, a lot colder, before the sun came out.
So look, Ben West and Luke Duffy, rumour has it, they're housemates as well. So an incredible weekend for them. And it bodes well. And like I say, it's really good to see these guys on the track, because I know they do Mansfield. I know some of them did Mansfield. But, you know, some of these boys probably wouldn't bother with the Liverpool long course. So it's good to see them out here in November and earn a vest. Both of them, that's their first GB senior vest.
Yeah.
You know, so it's giving them vest opportunities.
I think that's it, and I think we like the way that there's been no discretionary spots for this event, because, like, let's be honest, if you were just picking the team, I don't think either of them would get picked just on if you went off para 10 or on paper or form.
Yeah. Like, and it also allows, you know, the big... Think about the guys that we have on the fence, right? 1,500 metre-wise, who would probably turn up for a European relay.
Yeah, right? But wouldn't turn up for this.
But wouldn't turn up for this race.
Afraid to get beaten by them,
yeah,
basically.
But wouldn't turn up for this race because, one, maybe they don't want to have to do, like, I don't know, ease off for training and then do the Europeans. That's kind of like 2 weeks of like, maybe not very deep training for them. And then, yeah, two, they just don't want to waste a race almost and race a 1,500 on grass. So the guys on the fence that we could have called in instead of maybe West and Duffy, you know, we have so many sort of sub 36 guys.
I mean, it just sends a message out to them, and it's just like, look, there's a senior vest out there. People want it.
Absolutely.
You go and do what them boys did and go and get it for yourself.
This event, in my eyes, will only get better.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think maybe to make it even more interesting, I don't know, maybe 2K? 2K would be like a... It probably wasn't it. Well,
yeah. I think it has to depend 2K. Somewhat on what the Europeans end up being. Because I think, isn't that a K?
Yeah, no, it varies, mate. It's been a mile before. Been a mile. It's been 1,500, so it does vary. But yeah, maybe they just...
I think it has been as short as a K, so like you have to be obviously mindful of that. But look, on the women's side, kind of different story. Had a huge name. Alex Bell rocked up.
Yeah.
Obviously, Olympic finalist in the summer. She's been picked for the relay team twice before. And I think it kind of went to the form book in terms of the winner. She pretty much dominated.
Yeah, to be fair, like, yeah, she did dominate and make it look easy. And throughout the whole race, this is what I was saying about, she only took the lead in like the last sort of 100 metres.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw Ben West take the lead, I was like, surely he's not going to hold that. And that shows you like how strong and confident he was at that time. Because Alex chose to do the opposite and chose to make it kind of as easy as possible and secure that spot as easy as possible. And but, you know, we got to give a special mention to Hannah Nuttall, because the way she ran that race was the complete opposite, and it actually paid off. She managed to hold it down the home straight.
Yeah, for sure. Like, really strong run from her, and obviously someone who got picked up a few like GB Juniors vests like quite a few years ago now. Yeah. And obviously this is her first GB senior vest, so props to her, because I think some people who kind of have that success when they're younger almost dip out of sport and then like making teams that, I think she's our age, so
yeah
24, 25, 26 kind of coming back and then getting your first senior vest. It's good to see, and I think that's what the event brings.
What do you reckon for the team's chances, mate? Europeans.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I know when we in the past, when we've kind of picked the team's been really strong and they've done really well.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if the trial pays off even more, and it's even better, because realistically, I think the team's been strong not just because they're good at short course cross, just because they're good athletes. Whereas I think actually having people that look, it's clear they're in good 1,500 metre cross country shape, or however far it was, 2 weeks out. And I think that's what's quite nice about the cross country trials, is they are only 2 weeks away from the event. So really, you're already in.
You're not sacrificing too much of your season.
And you're in the shape already it.
Yeah.
And realistically, in 2 weeks, how much wrong can you do? And obviously, Bayern kind of picking up a few niggles and stuff. So hopefully that will all be good. But yeah, I mean, can we, like, we got to expect them to at least get a medal, I'd have thought.
100%.
If not the win, because I think they won it twice.
Yeah, we've won that like two or three times. Even, man, I swear every year it's on, we get the win. So let's hope, and obviously we're reigning champions. Let's hope they can come away with a medal at least.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, man.
Should we move on? Onto the seniors though, kind of the main events of the day. Like, we start with the senior men because, well, as a storming run, obviously the team came out today and they just picked the top six.
Yeah, to be honest, I think rightly so, because I was kind of thinking before the race, I was like, I don't know who isn't here that wants to be considered for the team. You know, your Paddy Devers and your Mark Scotts, they're out in America, they're training. I don't think they really want to waste their time in coming back to compete for the Europeans. It's not in their, you know, it's not in their program, or their kind of goals for the year. Mm. So even though it has been in Mark Scott in the past, but so yeah, I kind of thought that they would, and yeah, they just picked the top six, and I mean, Jack Rowe looked phenomenal.
Yeah, like that guy, like, since obviously I think we've been chatting about it a bit, like between myself and Matt recently, just he obviously had a great track season, but coming off the track season into kind of some road races and things, he's just shown almost even another level. And then coming out and beating Bouchard pretty convincingly on the weekend.
He seems to almost improve his performance every time he races. Mm. So like every race he does is better than the last one.
He just can't put a foot wrong at the moment, can he? He's just, every time he steps on the start line.
I mean, I spoke to Tim after the race and, you know, Tim was like, to be fair, the guy has put in so much hard work. Since coming back from America, he really has. He sacrificed a lot and he's just been so consistent, honestly. And there's, you know, if you ever talk to Jack or meet Jack, he's never got an excuse. I've never once heard him moan or have an excuse or anything. I've never once seen him cut a session short, cut a run short. Honestly, like the guy, obviously we had Cahal on last week talking about Kipchoge and how Kipchoge is so disciplined and gets all his training done. Jack is honestly very similar in that sense. And when I was speaking to Tim after, you know, Jack's coach, he was just saying that's pretty much it, and that's what it's been down to. Another interesting point Tim said is even Jack had his doubts before the race, and he said, I'm not sure I can do it on the cross. And Tim said, Jack, don't be daft. When you're in that good a shape, you can do on any terrain, any distance, anywhere, you know. And I think it was Dave Bedford, you know, used to say, he was like, look, you know, when I'm on my game, when I'm the best of my game, I can beat anyone in the world at 10K, no matter what distance, you know, what terrain, anything. And I think it's a similar thing for Jack right now. When he's on his game, he can pretty much beat anyone in the UK.
Yeah.
You know, he is probably the best distance runner in the UK right now. When he's on his game, bar, you know, we got a few like, you know, who obviously did turn up at Liverpool, you know, your Mark Scotts and your Paddy Devers. Yeah. It would be a very good matchup that I would love to see. But look, Bouchard out there, 10 seconds behind him as well. He put a good show on. And you know what? Interestingly with Bouchard, I think he's, I don't know, I can't, we don't know. We're not in his camp or anything, but I think he's just enjoying just doing this crunchy and using it to prep for track season. It doesn't seem like he was really gunning to, it doesn't seem like he's really gunning to like get a medal at Europeans or win Europeans or something like that. He's just using this as preparation.
Would you not say the same for Jack though, in a sense? Like, I think...
Yeah, but I think Bouchard's been there and done it before. Jack hasn't.
Yeah.
So I think Jack's always going to have that more hunger in his performance. Yeah, okay. So I think, you know, Jack probably wanted that title a little bit more than Bouchard, if I'm honest. Even going in and during the race. But maybe that's unfair to say that on Andy Bouchard. But yeah, again, like, what do you think this team's chances are? I mean, shout out to Will Batchelor, because I didn't mention it. I don't think I mentioned him once in commentary. So please forgive me, Will, if you're listening. But it was because he just came through. You know, I remember saying Jake Smith was working through. Will was working through on a whole nother level. You know, I don't think he got up into that sort of top 10 until the last lap. And then even them top spots beyond that as well. And Stuart McCallum as well, who's been out in America. That is someone who's, I mean, I don't want to say come out of nowhere, but like a huge, huge performance. And do you want to know the interesting thing between with Stuart McCallum as well? He actually gave Jack a good run at Hampshire League a couple of weeks back. And I remember Jack, he was saying, or I got told, you know, Jack was saying, yeah, it was a strong run from Stuart. You know, and he was surprised, you know, how good a shape he is. And that shows, you know, they're both, what, first and sixth? So, and then obviously Cardiff Boy. I mean, Jamie Crow as well had a pick, had a race. Yeah, really good race in third.
Yeah, I mean, like, hit kind of Jamie, Andy and Jack were just away.
But the one thing which impressed me about Jamie is his ability to hold on.
Yeah.
Because I thought, okay, he's going with Jack and Butcher. You know what I mean? He's maybe just overextending himself, but he actually, the gap didn't really get much bigger.
I think that's the thing. Like, it is, on the cross, it is a hard decision because you can either be like, right, I'm just going to consolidate and make sure I get fourth. But actually, say the guys behind are hurting, he might just think, well, if I just go with these, that there's just no way they're going to come back. Just because even if you die a bit or you're slowing, they can't sense it because they're too far away by that point.
And you know what? I think Jamie Crowe didn't die. I think Jack and Butcher just put the hammer down more. Yeah. So he kind of just maintained his pace over that last lap. So.
But yeah, but for sure, like you were saying, like Jake Smith came in seventh, but he was the sixth senior man. So he obviously got selected because Tom Mortimer, under 23, finishing fourth. So that's a cracking run. Obviously not even in the age group.
Yeah, to be honest, I thought Mortimer would be a dark horse. I mean, the guy's run well at Liverpool before, you know, through the junior ranks. 13-20 old guy of a 5K. Like, he's no joke. He's just kept himself on a little bit under the radar coming into this race. So I thought he would definitely make the under 23 team, and I did expect him to see up there as well. He was someone who timed it quite well as well, worked through. Mm. And it was interesting, all these guys sort of finishing. Because if we look a bit further down, I think it was Hugo Milner and Rory Leonard who were doing the early running.
Yeah.
And, you know, people like Jake Smith, Stuart McCallum, Will Battershall, Tom Mortimer, they kind of worked themselves through. As we know, I think that is a better way to run Liverpool. I mean, I think the first mile was sub 4:30.
Yeah.
Or near enough.
I think it's
near enough 4:30.
It just takes a lot of confidence, doesn't it? Because I think everyone knows that Liverpool goes off fast.
Yeah.
And everyone always says, oh, it's great to come through and finish strong. But it takes a lot of trust in both your shape and kind of your mental fortitude to be able to say, right, I am just gonna sit off on it.
Yeah, and then, I mean, in that men's race as well, one more mention, we'll probably give a shout out to Rory Leonard because that guy's done, he did NCAA regionals, he did NCAA cross country, and he's done Liverpool cross country. He's done three flat out 10Ks over the cross, you know, transatlantic,
yeah,
3 weeks on the bounce. That is actually, it's a pretty good achievement to us. Yeah. And he come up second under 23 as well.
And also probably more impressively 10th overall, like.
Yeah, I mean, were you surprised more under 23s didn't get up there a little bit more?
I think we do see under 23s a little
bit higher.
I think this year, I'd say this is no slight on the under 23s. I think our seniors are looking strong. I think they're just over 10k cross. It's it does take a bit of experience and probably just a few more years of miles to have that strength. I'd say,
yeah.
Agreed. But look, that's your senior men's team, and then over to the senior women's. This was one where we had one discretion.
Start with the splits for this one, man.
The splits,
how the race panned out, because that was actually really interesting.
So I think they went 5:30 odd, and then
this will be like for Jard and Jenny.
Yeah, so they were 5:30 for the first 2 miles, and then I believe they went 5:18, 16, and 13. I mean, that's the splits Jenny got second.
Judd put 15 seconds on her. She probably ran a 5 flat last mile, pretty much.
Over the last 2K.
Yeah, yeah.
She put that on.
It's interesting how they got quite considerably quicker. That doesn't really happen in cross country.
Well, we
races.
Talked about Jake Smith coming. Jake Smith coming through, looking at his Strava splits.
Yeah.
He was even all the way. Mm. And that, obviously that made it look like he's moving faster at the end because everyone else was slowing down. Whereas these girls, look, Amelia Quirk, under 23, finished fourth overall and won the under 23 race. She kind of took it out from the front, but kind of just led it and let the pace kind of be at that 5:30 region. And then Jess Judge just decided, I'd say probably 2K to go. Probably halfway.
Yeah, it was
halfway around the second big lap. Yeah. Just decided to really go. And she made a massive move. And fair play to her, obviously, coming off a really good summer. Obviously, making the Olympics in the 5 and the 10. And kind of showing she was a class above the rest of the field in that women's race.
And down in what was 6th place in the senior ladies, 9th overall, Lauren Hayes, has obviously missed out on the European selection, which got announced today. Charlotte Arter is in,
mm-hmm.
but has their proof fitness, is that correct?
Yeah, I think it says on the sheet, it says subject to fitness. Because I think, Charlotte picked up a little injury last week, which meant she couldn't run the trials, but I don't think it's anything too serious, so I guess we'll see.
So we presume she has to send the selectors some sort of workout, some sort of Strava Garmin splits.
Yes,
yeah, to prove she's in shape.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because obviously we like to say, oh yeah, you'll have the first six. But then when you've got an athlete, we obviously spoke to Charlotte on the pod recently,
absolutely,
of her caliber.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You'd expect her to be right up there in that top three. In that race on the weekend, if she was fit, like she obviously won Cardiff Cross Challenge, she's run 31:30 on the road this year.
On the road, yeah, crazy time.
And she's finished top 10 at Eurocross before.
Yeah.
So, it's a tough one, and obviously, if she can prove fitness, I mean that's great for the team. But if not, then I think Lauren Hayes should definitely be selected. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure we might hear more on that story over the coming few days or week or whatever. But yeah, dominant from Jess Judd. You kind of would expect it given, you know, Olympian in the 5 and the 10.
Yeah.
And then Jenny Nesbitt, Abby Donnelly, Jess Gibbon, Kate Avery, and then obviously Charlotte Arter included in there as well. Yeah, and like we said, the under-23s, they were up there a little bit more in the ladies' race. They had a little bit more depth, didn't they?
Well, yeah, because I mean, obviously, Amelia Quirk's fourth, and then Izzy Fry and Eleanor Bolton, both under 23s, they finished ahead of Lauren Hayes,
mm-hmm.
In the overall race. So it looks like they've got a pretty pretty strong team going to Europeans. But I think that's the case every time see a Liverpool team. We've always got a strong team as a nation. And I think it's always the expectation that these teams will go there and get medals.
Yeah. I mean, as a whole as well, it was great to see Liverpool back. I thought the atmosphere for the senior races was great. And you know what? On what was a cold and windy and pretty scatty day, the atmosphere was great. And it was just class to see everyone out there grinding hard. People strewn all over the finishing area. Do you know what I mean? Knackered. And I think everyone loved it. And, you know, I was having a chat with someone earlier as well. And I was saying, I think, imagine if we had Liverpool's kind of quality and hype.
Mm.
We mix that with the inter-counties, the way you have to qualify for the inter-counties.
Yeah.
You run for your county, right? Not yourself. You run for your county, which I think is a cool thing.
Mm.
And then you mix that with like the history of the national cross. You kind of merged it all together and you had like a supreme cross-country event. Like, I think that would be the ultimate. They all kind of have their strengths and appeals.
Mm.
So, I mean, but Liverpool for me is defo probably the highest quality race of the cross-country calendar.
I think so, because it's always the European trials. Yes. Whereas the inter-counties, we can't ever rely on it to be a world trial, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think that would help it. I think the time of year with Liverpool, though, I think
it's so easy to get up for, isn't it?
Yeah.
You come off the track season, you're like, what's next? And you just think, right, it's Liverpool. As I think, there's in February, March, there's a lot going on. People think, what's next?
Well, there's so many races out in America, like especially 5K, 10K guys or girls. They're thinking, let's go get my qualifying time.
Yeah.
And if you want to be running kind of the first Stanford meet, end of March.
Just a lot going on, isn't there? There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot to choose from. Like you say, there's track races, there's indoors, there's road races. So I think obviously November, December just fits so well in the cross-country calendar. It really does. Mate, quick. Obviously, Jakob got announced. He's doing the Europeans. He's doing the seniors. I mean, rightly so. I would have hated to see him do the under-23s. I mean, that would have been a complete cop-out. It surprised me a few years ago when he was still doing the under-20s.
Mm.
But I kind of just think he wanted to get the four under-20 wins under his belt and go down in history in that age group. Glad he's doing the seniors. And I've been saying for a while now, the way that the Ingebrigtsens as a family, Jakob as well, and Gert, have valued the European Championships on the track, on the cross country, has only supported and grown that competition, I think. I think the Europeans on the track is one of the biggest events bar World Champs and Olympics.
I think in terms of the Continental Champs, I know we're biased, but it's got to be.
It's an incredible meet, right? It's an incredible meet. And on the cross country as well, I think he's aided it. And he's made it even bigger. And actually, I think it really means something. Like now, when you go to these championships, you know the standard is ridiculously high. If you get a medal,
yeah,
that's a huge achievement. Well, you know, this, I think there was a period where you could pick up a medal at these kind of championships and you didn't get the credit you maybe deserved.
Well, this guy's the best in the world.
Yeah.
He's literally the best, yeah. The best in the world. And he's going to be there at a European cross country championships.
Yeah, I want to see...
There's a lot to say
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to see more teams because I think, I don't know what, like, you know, Spain could potentially have a good team. I mean, I know they've got Katir, they've got Machao, they've got that...
Yeah, I'm sure Turkey will have a good team as well.
I mean, you say that, to be honest, they haven't been amazing in recent... They had a bit of a crop in like 2016, but they haven't been, you know, but... you got France with Grecia.
Yeah, I mean, Grecia, Ingebrigtsen's
going to
be a good
battle. France have a lot of 13-10 to 13-20 guys as well, steeplechasers as well, so that could be an interesting one. And the Italians have...
Yeah. Look, I think in terms of the GB teams, I think there's no doubt the teams are going to do well. But how well do you think, like, say, Jess Jard and Jack Rowe could do individually?
This is what I mean with Jack. Like, it's so hard to tell.
Mm.
Because of the races he's done...
Because like, that's the, had Bouchard won that, yeah, you're probably like, Bouchard, oh yeah, Bouchard's going to go get a medal.
Well, yeah.
Or like thereabouts.
Just because you know Bouchard's pedigree though, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's performed on these stages, as Jack obviously hasn't had the opportunity to perform on a European stage before.
But look, obviously, champs. Yeah, European indoors, he went and made the final, which is a cracking run earlier this year.
Yeah.
And look, I do expect him to step up to the level. Like, I think he is that sort of athlete. And like you say about his mindset, he seems that sort of person who he will get there and he will step up to whatever the level is. I can't see him just sitting in and like not getting involved with that lead pack.
Yeah. And also, like you say, like with Judd as well, like, I think it's been a while, you know, she's going to go there as a contender in that lead pack as well.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I think it's the Italian... Balicletti, she's probably the...
Klosterhauffen.
Yeah.
Surely Hassan's not doing it. I don't know. This is the thing. We're gonna find out the fields. We'll probably do a preview on the event, to be honest, when we find out the fields. But today was more about Sunrise in Liverpool.
Yeah. Chatting through those GB selections. And look, yeah, just saying thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for all your support with the commentary on the weekend. And hopefully we can keep putting out not just our normal Sunday pods, but bonus eps like this, the commentary we did on the weekend, and hopefully some more things for you guys, because it's really good that you guys seem to support that as well.
And I tell you what, if you're listening, we're going to do a podcast on how to bring revenue into our sport. So send us an email, send us a DM or whatever on Instagram, Twitter. Get in touch of your ideas, and we can discuss them on a bonus pod as well.
Yeah, that's a good shout. So guys, if you want to email us, it's info@sundayplodcast.com, and then both our Twitter and Instagram is just @sundayplodcast.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys want to get 10% off and free delivery on sportshoes.com, if you want to get new trainers, anything like that, the code is sundayplod10, and that's all in capitals, sundayplod10. So there you go. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed this bonus. See you on Sunday.